This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for lectures, features, and radio shows. And now, here's Coy Barefoot.
George Washington wrote an astonishing number of letters, both personal and professional. The majority, about 140,000 documents, are from his years as Commander-in-Chief during the Revolutionary War from 1775 to 1783. The new book is This Glorious Struggle, George Washington's Revolutionary War Letters. The author is Edward Langle, and he is associate editor of the Papers of George Washington at the University of Virginia. He joins us live in studio on this rainy day. How are you, sir?
I'm very good, Coy. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. A terrific book. Now, this is your second Washington book. Is that right?
It's my second Washington book. It's my fifth book altogether.
Congratulations. That's terrific.
Oh, thanks.
Give us a little Edward Langle 101. How did you find yourself in Charlottesville reading thousands of Washington letters?
Well, I'm from Northern Virginia originally. I went to undergraduate school at George Mason, and then I came down here for graduate school in 91. Decided it was a great place to raise kids and a family, so I stayed on after I got my PhD. And I started, even though my main studies were in European history, I started working on the Washington Papers as a graduate student and kind of got stuck on them, and got promoted and got a salary. So
there you go.
I'll go wherever the money is.
Absolutely.
So, plus, Washington's an interesting guy.
Yeah. Ed, tell us about this whole project, the Papers of George Washington, because if folks don't know, Thomas Jefferson's letters are at Princeton, George Washington's letters are at UVA. Fill us in on this project and what UVA has over there in the archives.
Well, I should also plug Thomas Jefferson. The retirement series is over here at Monticello. So they've got their own project there now. They just
terrific.
Started a few years ago.
I didn't know that. That's terrific.
But I'm also amazed. I go to speak on Washington all over the place, and I ask people to raise their hands how many have heard of the Papers of George Washington, and even here, asking around here in the Charlottesville area, almost nobody's ever heard of us before. We're in Alderman Library, along with the Papers of James Madison. We've been up there since about 1969, working on his papers. It's almost 40 years now. I've been at the project for 12 years.
Wow. What does it entail? Is it literally you go to work and you read letters and you... what is it? What's a day like with the Papers of George Washington?
Pretty much. I mean, we've got almost 140,000. They're all copies now. We don't have originals there. So you would be thieves out there. You don't need to come in and raid our offices. We have copies, and we're transcribing them, making good copies of them, and writing notes to describe what's in them, what it's about. And then publishing volumes. We have 58 volumes so far.
Wow.
We're publishing about two a year. We're hoping we get to 90 volumes and we'll be done, which should be 15 to 20 years from now.
Wow. And the volumes, just so people know, what's in there? Not just the letters, but historical context as well. Is that right?
Well, it's mainly the letters. The letters are the focus, along with enclosures, things. It's letters to and from Washington, papers and reports, especially like spies reports that were sent to Washington that he read, along with our notes. If Washington mentions a Mr. Smith or a certain report, we need to describe who Mr. Smith was if we can find him.
Right. And that's so much a part of your work, I would assume, this really detailed, almost detective-like historical research. Who was he talking about?
Oh, that's right. We do a lot of genealogy and stuff like that. Yeah, it is a puzzle.
So we're talking with Edward Langle. The book is This Glorious Struggle. Where does the title come from?
It comes from Washington's words during the war, and I can't off the top of my head remember which letter, but he refers to the Revolutionary War as a glorious struggle. I think that reflects how passionately he felt about it. He was such an idealist in so many ways.
Yeah. And so give us an idea of what's in this book. These are not retirement letters. They're not letters as a young man. This is his letters as the leader of the Revolutionary Army.
Right. They're only letters from the Revolutionary War. And I chose them to give us kind of a well-rounded sense, not just of what he was like as a military leader, but what he was like as a man. So you'll find in here, you'll find letters describing the great battles. You'll find famous letters like the farewell address. But you'll also find day-to-day letters where he describes what he was eating for dinner and how incompetent his cook is, and complaining about how his cook has just discovered how to make apple pie. Didn't know how to do that before.
What did he eat? Did he have favorites?
Well, it's funny. What Washington ate, he loved oatmeal meal cakes swimming in syrup. It was one reason he liked anything sweet. So that's one reason he lost his teeth, I
really?
Think. And he loved fish. But in this one letter complaining about his table, he says his cook, the way he lays it out, he has one little bowl of greens in the middle surrounded by these big chunks of meat of all different kinds. That was pretty much their diet, and lots of meat pies.
Yeah.
So
my guest is Edward Langle. He's associate editor of the papers of George Washington here at the University of Virginia. His new book is This Glorious Struggle, George Washington's Revolutionary War Letters. Give us an idea of perhaps some of the stories in here, because I know your book is just full of, it's one story after another that you can learn about what was really going on around Washington. Sure. During this struggle.
Sure. I mean, I think it provides a lot of insight into his mind. You know, first of all, Washington was not created a perfect being, a god descending from Olympus who came down and smote the enemy and won victory after victory. But he was a human being like ourselves who overcame adversity to become great. So at the beginning of the war, for example, you'll find him elected to command the Continental Army. And far from being confident that he was going to defeat the enemy, he was downcast and depressed. Even one moment he had tears in his eyes, feeling like he was going to let the country down, he was going to ruin his reputation, that he might go down in history as the greatest failure in American history. So he has to overcome that and go on to lead the army, try to bring together these men from New England who couldn't stand him and he couldn't stand them, with the Southerners, the Middle Atlantic states, and unify them in a common purpose, and it's an ongoing struggle how he does that.
Tell us, he was born a subject of the British king. What turned him? What turned George Washington into a rebel? I mean, that's the greatest thing that I think most Americans don't appreciate, is that these founding fathers that we revere and we discuss and talk about, these were men who overthrew a government. They were rebels. They were the greatest leftists you can imagine.
Right.
They were incredible liberals, every single one of them. They overthrew a government. What happened in his life, as far as Washington is concerned, to flip that switch?
There's a tremendous debate about that. The cynics will say it was all self-interest, that Washington felt like the British policies were a constraint on his estate, on his money-making, with his trade in different goods and tobacco, and so on and so forth. But that doesn't really reflect the passion with which he approached the war and with which he continued through the war. He was very idealistic about these standards of liberty, the standards of freedom, and you know, he really felt like it was a good cause, worth fighting for. So I guess maybe perhaps some of his early experiences as well during the French and Indian War, when he saw that the British, who he had always admired, the British Army, he saw some of their weaknesses, he saw some of their narrow-mindedness and some of the stupidity in their policies. So there are really a whole lot of different factors at work.
Yeah, and also you can't skip the fact that this is a man who's literally on the front lines of battle for years after year, watching his friends, young men, die, sacrifice their lives for the cause of freedom, to live in a world where they didn't have to pay tribute to a king.
Right.
And that had to leave with him such a heavy burden of responsibility, and boy, if that doesn't make you love this country, I don't know what will.
Oh, it did, but you know what he felt most bitter and affected about during the war, and this is another story, was he expected that he was such an idealist, he expected everybody else to be equally idealistic, and he found that very many of his fellow Americans, his fellow men, were not that way at all, that self-interest really dictated what they did. For example, officers resigning because of petty squabbles over rank, not getting paid enough, all kinds of other trivial issues. And it really, throughout the war, it kind of embittered him and forced him to become more realistic and pragmatic as the war went on.
Interesting. So. Edward Langell is the author of This Glorious Struggle, George Washington's Revolutionary War Letters. He's the associate editor of the Papers of George Washington here at the University of Virginia. And we just want to give a shout out to Rick Britton, who joins us on Friday afternoons on this program. He did the maps for this book.
Rick is a great guy. He's a trooper. He's done maps for three of my books now. This book, I have another book called To Conquer Hell about World War I, the Meuse-Argonne. He did all the maps for that. And for General George Washington, my book in 05. He's an incredibly talented guy.
Isn't he?
Oh yeah, we spent a lot of late evenings over beer and blueberry pie working on this thing. So
I mean, not only can he draw these maps, you know what? Rick is an incredible storyteller.
Oh, he is.
Tells these stories with maps. He can write beautiful stories about history and really take you there to this moment in time. And he's also a hell of a tour guide.
Absolutely, incredible. Battlefield walks and stuff.
Right, right. We're very lucky to have him here as a regular on the program. Ed, tell us what you think it is that most Americans perhaps don't know or don't get about George Washington.
I think Washington has become a symbol. He's become a cardboard symbol. A story I often tell is that since I was a little kid, I've loved history. No matter what it was about history, I loved it. But the only period I hated was the Founding Fathers. They bored me to death. Absolutely bored me to death. I would avoid them like the plague. And it was because, really, we were taught simply to know all of their great deeds and how wonderful they were and how perfect they were in every way. And
like the gods on Olympus or something.
Gods on Olympus, and I could not relate to them. Now, for example, a lesson I do, I often talk to school children, to school teachers at Mount Vernon and other places, conferences. I say in front of the blackboard, I say, tell me what you know about George Washington. What were his characteristics? What was he like? And so they say, oh, he was brave. He was smart. He was intelligent. He was loyal. He was creative, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All these wonderful qualities. And then I'll ask the kids, okay, how many of you are just like this? And there'll always be a few wisecrackers who will raise their hands and say, yeah, I'm perfect. But most of them who are honest, you know, they know that they make mistakes. They're not perfect. They have flaws in their character. And I say, you know what? Washington was too. Washington was a human being. Washington made mistakes. He could be vain. He could be jealous. He could be overambitious. He lost battles. But what he did is that he overcame those mistakes to become great and accomplish great deeds. And I tell the kids, you know, you can do that too.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lesson. If you can learn what he's like as a human, then you can relate to him and really learn something from him.
He was willing to fail. He was willing to fail and keep going.
Yeah, he hated failure, but he kept on going and he learned from his mistakes.
I understand that George Washington has been mentioned in our presidential primary race. Is that true?
Yes, I was contacted recently by a reporter with the National Review who asked me a question about John McCain. Now, John McCain has been talking about he carries a paper in his pocket everywhere he goes with quotations from great men. One of these is a quotation from George Washington, where he says something to the effect that the willingness of our young men to serve in future wars will be in direct proportion to how we treat them now. Well, the only problem was Washington never said that. He never wrote that. He never said it. It was apparently fabricated. Now, lots of things have been made up by George, and a lot of things are made up by the Victorians. This reporter dug it up. He thinks it was fabricated in 1981. The first time this quote came up, somebody was giving testimony before the House Armed Services Committee or something, talking about treatment of veterans. He just made it up. And since then, this quote has been all over the internet. I'm sure McCain or one of his aides pulled it down. Let's, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt and assume that he doesn't know that it's a fraud.
Yeah.
You know, the sentiments are good, certainly, but you know, Washington has been misappropriated more than anybody else in our history, I think.
Well, can you tell us really quick your next book? Got about a minute left.
Oh, yeah. Well, this leads right into my next book. My next book is going to be called Faking George Washington. It's already under contract. It's about how people have made up things about Washington over the years. From
like
the
George Washington slept here, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, that's part of it. But people who have forged letters, the British forged letters to people, some of the crazier incidents we've had at the Papers of George Washington. I've been contacted by somebody who supposedly found evidence that space aliens helped him to win the Revolutionary War. Somebody who is a reincarnation of George Washington called us up just to let us know he was living in Cincinnati. Appropriately, groups of spiritualists have come into our office and confronted us how we need to know that they're in connection with his spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's all kinds of stuff
that
out there.
Fun.
It's just kind of a fun book.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. Edward Langle is the associate editor of the George Washington Papers here at the University of Virginia. The new book is This Glorious Struggle, George Washington's Revolutionary War Letters. Thank you, Edward. It's a beautiful book.
Thanks a lot, Coy.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show is on the air Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 in the afternoon. Join in on the show by calling 434-977-1070 or feel free to leave a comment on the show at SevillePodcast.com. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.